Turn with me to Jeremiah, the 11th chapter, for a beginning this morning. The indictment here by Jeremiah, given to him by the Lord, was against Israel, against Judah and Jerusalem, and it's a pretty severe indictment. They'd come out of the wilderness, and the Lord had taken care of them, led them about, but they continued to backslide. I don't know. I know and I don't know. All the dealing that God had with Israel, they were just up and down. Lord would bring them down low. They'd build back up until they begin to get confidence in themselves. And they'd begin to go off a different way. I'd like to read here, begin reading here in the 11th verse. He said, "Therefore, thus saith the Lord, if behold, I will bring evil upon them, which they shall not be able to escape. And though they shall cry unto me, I will not hearken unto them. Then shall the cities of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem go and cry unto the gods, unto whom they offer incense. But they shall not save them at all in the time of their trouble." I've mentioned this before. They are blowing some other kind of smoke. All this incense. And when I look about us today, I look about us in the same spirit that Jeremiah was talking about here. We got so much religious activity and they're blowing evil smoke. In my lifetime, I've seen what the so-called church expand until you can't go down any road anywhere now that they're in another church out. And this morning, they're full. I come by a lot of them on the way down here, and I look at them, and I wonder. And the bigger the parking lot and the bigger the building, the more evil I consider them to be. It's quite evident. The same thing was evident here in this town. The Lord didn't set them out that way, but they just go that way. Of course, it's the very nature of man. It's inherent in him. Unless the Lord caught him, unless the Lord planted him, unless the Lord groomed him and kept on with him, then he's going to go exactly that way. Might go back over to 45th chapter of the book of Isaiah a minute. Just come to mind here. I guess begin here in the 11th verse. It thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel and his Maker, ask me of things to come concerning my sons and concerning the work of my hands, command ye me. I have made the earth and created man upon it. My hands have stretched out the heavens and all their hosts have I commanded. I've raised him up in righteousness. I will direct his ways. He shall build my city. He shall let go my captives, not for price or reward, saith the Lord of hosts. Well, that looks pretty good. Then he goes over in verse 19. He said, I've not spoken in secret in a dark place of the earth. I said not unto the seed of Jacob, seek me in vain. The Lord speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. Assemble yourselves and come draw near together, ye that are escaped of the nations. They have no knowledge that set up the wood of their graven image and pray unto a God that cannot save. Tell ye and bring them near, ye, yea, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from the ancient times? Isn't any reason they don't know? Who hath told it from that time? Have not I the Lord, and there's no God else beside me, just a just God and a Savior, there's none beside me. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. So the Lord hath warned them over and over and over with the same words. And he always comes back with this one statement, and I have said. That witness is always, it's you'd be surprised looking through the scripture how many times that is said, that the Lord said. And verse 13, he said, for according to the number of thy cities were thy gods. That's the kind of way we are now. Is every kind of a denomination out there. And they are growing in number. Some of them we used to call themselves Baptists went independent because they can't think of anything else. Call themselves, they've been through every scope of what they can think of to call themselves. And they're not righteous, but they are religious. But man is religious by his very nature. He is religious. He has to serve something. And if he can't find anything else, he'll serve himself. He said, O Judah, that's who he's directing this at, and Jerusalem. And according to the number of the streets of Jerusalem, have you set up altars to that shameful thing, even altars to burn incense unto Baal? Therefore pray not thou for this people. Well, kind of strange statement, isn't it? It would be in these churches out here today. Just don't pray for this people. I put my finger up on them. And I'm going to bring destruction up on that is worshiping Baal or anything else. And that's what Baal stands for, anything that's ungodly. He'd lift up a cry or a prayer for them. For I will not hear them in the time that they cry unto me for their trouble. Well, there is a point in time. It doesn't matter how much a man cries, how much he begs. He has come to the point that there is no return. I got in trouble about that before also. They say, oh, yeah. Yeah, everybody has chance. Always. Well, there is a point when God doesn't, he's not going back. The day of visitation is over. He's going to turn away. He's not going to hear their cry. Destruction is coming. And it is sure, because the Lord said it. What hath my beloved to do in mine house? Seeing she hath wrought lewdness with many, and the holy flesh is passed from thee. When thou doest evil, then thou rejoicest. Doesn't that sound a little like these churches out here today also? They're shouting hallelujah. Having a good time. Over and over. There is no judgment preached in these old worldly churches. They're absolutely void of any judgment at all. God is good. No way He could punish us. We're such good people. No way He could turn from us. We're just too good. He couldn't be mad at us. The Lord called thy name a green olive tree. He planted it a good tree. Now make no mistake about it, the same tree is going to flourish. He's going to bring a branch out of that olive tree that's going to bring peace. But they have turned. He planted it a good green, a growing, you understand? Olive tree. But it's turned. And it's going, and it's going, and it's going. And outside of the help of the Lord, this tree is going to die. But by the grace of God, He's going to bring forth a righteous branch in that same olive tree. Yeah, the Lord called thy name a green olive tree. And of goodly fruit, with the noise of a great tumult, He shall kindle fire upon it, and the branches of it are broken. For the Lord of hosts that planted thee hath pronounced evil against thee for the evil of the house of Israel and the house of Judah, which they have done against themselves to provoke me to anger in offering incense unto Baal. And the Lord hath given me knowledge of it. And I know it. Then thou showest me their doings. But I was like a lamb or an ox that is brought to the slaughter, and I knew not that they had devised devices against me, saying, let us destroy the tree. That's what Israel and Judah set out to do. Lord, come unto His own, and His own received Him not. They set out to destroy that very tree, that green olive tree. And they were deliberate about it. Do you understand that they went to great pains to study, but do you know that they never come to the knowledge of the truth, so they added unto it, so it would be palatable unto them, and they could lean upon their own law and not on the law of God. Let us destroy the tree with the fruit thereof. Destroy it too. And let us cut him off from the land of the living, that his name may be no more remembered. The green olive tree, we'll cut it off. The Lord says He's going to burn it, but it won't be totally consumed. That's also a promise. Promised Abraham was, I'm going to raise me up a people. They're going to be this same green olive tree. We look back at Noah. What did the dove carry out? Branch of the olive tree. Signifying the peace of God had come. And this same olive tree, when it is raised up, when this branch has come, then it'll bring peace to the people of God. Go with me over to Zechariah. Almost in the wrong book there, the fourth chapter. Like to read this old chapter, and the angel that talked with me came again and walked with me as a man that wakened out of his sleep, and said unto me, What seest thou? And I said, I have looked, and behold, a candlestick all of gold, with a bowl upon the top of it, and his seven lamps thereon, and seven pipes to the seven lamps which are upon the top thereof. Now you get the picture here. There's seven of these like candelabras. But flowing to all those are pipes. Seven pipes, one to each one. Plenty of oil from the olive tree. Flowing to these candelabras. And the two olive trees back, one upon the right side of the bowl and the other upon the left side thereof. So I answered and spake to the angel that talked with me, saying, What are these, my Lord? Then the angel that talked with me answered and said unto me, Knowest thou not what these be? And I said, No, my Lord. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel. Saying, Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. This is where it's going to come from. When we look about us today, once again, we see that they've done away with any doctrine. They claim it. We don't have any doctrine. You know, they band together. So they're testifying that they have power. But there's no oil in their lamps. They've gone out. The olive tree, they'll try it up. No oil in their lamps. But they are banding together. You know, I don't know how so around here, but up in our part of the country, they have a fifth Sunday singing in all them churches, Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian, I don't care who they are, they all come together and sing the same thing. And they think there's power in their numbers. How often do you drive down the road and there's this sign up in the yard and say, Pray for our nation? They band together. They're all over this country. Well, that'd be wonderful if their prayers was being heard and if they were praying for the right thing. But no. No, they just think that there's power in numbers. There's power in one. That's it. Said, Who art thou, O great mountain? That's what they become. They think. Before Zerubbabel, thou shalt become a plain. And he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, Grace, grace unto you. He's fixing to lay here the foundation of the temple. First temple is destroyed. It's torn down. Not one stone left upon the other. But now he's fixing to lay the foundation for the second temple. That's where grace comes in. Now we've got a godly king. In the chapters prior to this, it talks about Joshua leading this thing on. And then we're going to have a righteous king that's going to lay the foundation and begin to build this second temple where these candelabras are going to be. And I think this picture here is not necessarily of that second temple, but of the true temple of God, where they're going to feed off of Him, that righteous branch. He said, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hand shall also finish it, and thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto you." This prophecy you're fixing to see fulfilled, and you will know it, because the temple is fixing to be built up again. He said, "For who hath despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice. And who shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel? With those seven, they are the eyes of the Lord, which run to and fro through the whole earth." He's talking about the small things here, and it could have many implications. But in this application here, he's talking about the first temple in its glory, and the second temple in its glory. The one wasn't anything to compare with the other. What he's got now, he's building, is just a small one. Matter of fact, if you go back and look, it wasn't going to even have the outer court. It's just going to be the inner court in the sanctuary. It wasn't trimmed like the first. But listen, the Lord's still going to, in the end, make it more glorious than the first. In verse 11, he said, "Then answered I and said unto him, What are these two olive trees up on the right side of the candlestick and up on the left side thereof? And I answered again and said unto him, What be these two olive branches which through the two golden pipes empty the golden oil out of themselves? It's flowing." And he answered me and said, "Knowest thou not what these be?" And I said, "No, my Lord." Then said he, "These are the two anointed ones that stand by the Lord in the whole house. They've received the anointing oil, and they've given testimony to the power of the God of glory." And these two are Zerubbabel and Joshua. They've received anointing that they might lead the people in righteousness, that they might establish the kingdom. And this oil in these pipes is flowed unto them. And they be the light at that time that there was for the people of Judah and Jerusalem to look unto, that they might also see the Lord of glory. Haggai, the second chapter, read a few verses here, beginning in verse 1, and in the 7th month, in the 20th day of the month, came the word of the Lord by the prophet Haggai, saying, Speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Josaphat, and the high priest, and to the residue of the people, saying, Who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory? You understand they're gone. There wasn't any. There really wasn't any left that had seen that glory. And how do you see it now? Is it not in your eyes in comparison of it is nothing? Yet, now, be strong. O Zerubbabel, saith the Lord, and be strong, O Joshua, son of Josedech, the high priest, and be strong, all ye people of the land, saith the Lord, and work, for I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts. Now we fix and build that house. And really, in all reality, it's going to be more glorious than the first one. He said, according to the word that I coveted it with you when ye came out of Egypt, so my spirit remaineth among you, fear ye not. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once, it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come. Now we're seeing the Gentiles. Everybody going to come together in this house, this glorious house. And the desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. The silver's mine, the gold's mine, saith the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than that of the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace. He's going to offer that olive branch. He's going to give it to this house. The other one tore it down. It was glorious. But then it lost its glory. Torn down. But this one's not. This one's going to retain its glory. And Lord of hosts going to bring peace to them. You notice how that verse 9 ended? Saith the Lord of hosts. It's a sure thing. Book of Psalms. Chapter 52. We might just read this whole thing. I had just thought about a couple of verses here, but said, Why boastest thou thyself in mischief, O mighty man? The goodness of God endureth continually. Thy tongue deviseth mischief like a sharp razor, working deceitfully. Thou lovest evil more than good. Wasn't the comparison night and day, wasn't it? Light and darkness. And lying rather than speak righteousness. Thou lovest all devouring words. O thou deceitful tongue, God shall likewise destroy thee forever. He shall take thee away and pluck thee out of thy dwelling place and root thee out of the land of the living. The righteous also shall see and fear and shall laugh at him. Lo, this is a man that made not God his strength, but trusted in the abundance of his riches and strengthened himself in his wickedness. But I am like a green olive tree in the house of the Lord. It's a living thing from which floweth the oil, the anointing oil, by the way. The anointing oil, that's to anoint his people. And by this they will know that they have been with God. But I'm like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever. I will praise thee forever and ever because thou hast done it. And I will wait on thy name, for it is good before thy saints. And it is good that the Lord hath brought that anointing oil. He didn't let that tree completely go. But he said all along, gonna bring forth a righteous branch. And that branch is gonna be one that brings peace to his people. And out of them he's gonna build a house and put the lampstands in it. And that light will flow from that house.